service talk. It's on the church website. If you just go to the sermon section of the church website, and may I encourage you to visit, the website from time to time, particularly the sermon bit, to catch up on sermon, but also to re-listen. You know, I listen to myself again as well, just like I listen to other people talk. Because when I'm talking, I'm not just talking to you, I'm also speaking to myself, because I'm a messenger receiving God's message for God's people. I am, a part of God's people, just as we are God's people. So I listen to myself again, because it's God's word. So yeah, and I think that was powerful to sort of set the tone for this year. So please revisit, even if you were here on the 30th, last Watch Night service, listen to it again and make those prayers, those promises yours. Can we have the first slide, please? The desert and the parched land will be glad, the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. I mean, that's the watchword for this year. And in a way, you know, that promise sort of sets the tone for what we trust in the Lord for this year. Now, you can see those two slides. So those, do you know at all where that is? Anyone? UAE, close enough. Yeah, UAE is still Dubai. If not, is that here? Well, Saudi Arabia. Well done. Well, let's give him a round of applause. And around this time last year, sort of the third week last year, I mean, normally in normal time, Saudi Arabia is like that in normal time, but. Sort of the second, third week of last year, 2023, January, something like that happened. There was serious flooding and lots of rain in Saudi Arabia, lots of rain leading to, believe it or not, leading to a lot of flash floods. And a mountain that would normally look like that became that after a while. You can see that gentleman taking pictures. He wasn't the only one doing that. The second image to my far left is the image of a parched desert mountain. There seems to be, you don't see anyone taking picture of that at that moment. But when the heaven poured out rain and watered it abundantly, the dry and ugly looking mountain became a thing of beauty. The desert and parched land became blooming gardens. People started taking pictures. And if you go online and just Google Saudi Arabia, mountains turning green, you will see actually that it was reported in the news, around between 17th and 23rd of January last year. You will actually see, goats and, other animals, sheep, coming around, eating, feeding off, those grass and all that. It became a thing of joy and blessing. And you see all the people taking pictures and wanting to take selfie with those mountains and parched land that had become green and pretty. It is my prayer that before the end of this year, people will walk up to you wanting to take pictures with you, because they've heard your story and heard what the Lord has done in your life. I pray that in 2024, God will indeed turn your deserts and parched land into blooming gardens. Amen. I think I expect you to say a louder amen. I say that prayer and I make that declaration based on God's promise in the scripture. I mean, we've all seen it. Isaiah 35 verse 1. God promised his people that the desert and parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. it will rejoice and, you know, shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. You know, it will become, those parched land will become a thing of splendor with people queuing to take pictures, you know, of it. Now, promises like these abound in scriptures. The Bible is a treasure chest, overflowing with God's precious promises, like this one from Isaiah 35, verse 1. These promises are not trivial. They are weighty, significant, and filled with divine assurance. These promises of God cover every aspect of our lives, offering guidance, support, encouragement, and hope amid life's challenges. Indeed, God's promise should be a source of comfort for every one of us, particularly if you are burdened with anxiety and fear. Our God is not a distant observer, but a Savior who actively intervenes on behalf of his people. I mentioned that at that Watch 9 service. In our second reading this morning, Peter reminds us in verses 3 to 1, he said that God's divine power has given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Through, you know, this is giving us great and precious promises, so that we may be participants in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God in his mercy, through his divine power, has given unto us everything we need for a godly and fulfilled life. The conduit through which we access these things is our knowledge of God. And how do we know God? We know God through his word. And like I said earlier, God's word is full of his promises, his assurances, his direction, his guidance for us. And when we talk about knowing God, we're not talking about just an intellectual awareness, but an intimate, experiential knowledge that comes from a personal relationship with God. Many of you know me as your vicar in this church, but there are just a few people here that can say they really know me. You need to have a proper relationship with someone, isn't it? To know them. Similarly, in our connection with God, that we begin to really know him, it is then that his power for godly living becomes accessible to us, really. Through our knowledge of God, who's called us by his own glory and goodness, we have the opportunity to live a purpose-driven life, to live a godly life. Friends, you will agree with me that a principal way for getting to know anyone, including myself, if you want to know me, is to commit to spend time with them. That's the way we get to know people, isn't it? There's no shortcut. Spending time with someone, listening to them, speaking to them, building a relationship with them, and if they've got a family, with their family, that's how we get to know people, isn't it? Or is there another way? I know a lot of you are older than me, so is there another way to get to know someone? Maybe there's a magical way that I don't know. Is there any other way? Similarly, to know God, we must commit to spending time with him, listening to his words, speaking to him in our own words, and building a relationship with him and his family. He's got a very large family, by the way. In church language, we call this listening to God's word, Bible study, and meditation. We call speaking to him prayer. we call building a relationship with him and his family and fellowshipping together in church and through other, you know, avenues available to congregate together, to meet together. So if you push aside this, you know, theologically FT-sounding words like prayer and meditation and fellowship, and you just think about it as speaking to someone, getting to know their family, and listening to someone. Just as you get, you know, those are the things you do when you want to get to know anyone. And with God, it's not different. It's the same, exactly the same thing. In prayer, we're talking to him like we try and talk to someone to get to know them. In Bible study and meditation, we're listening to him. Just like, you know, you listen, if you want to get to know someone, you need to learn to listen to them. And coming to church, you're getting to meet his family members. And then you talk to his family members. That is why we come to church. I know maybe some people may hate coming, but that is the same logic. Even though God's divine powers made available to us everything we need for a godly and fulfilled life, our knowledge of God, our fellowship with him and his family are key to unlocking the great and precious promises available to us in order to participate effectively in the divine nature. Speaking about Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 3, John the Baptist said, "A person can only receive what they've been given. A person can only receive what they've been given from heaven." And in verse 31 of that chapter, John the Baptist says, "The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from earth belongs to the earth and speak as one from the earth. But the one who comes from heaven is above all." As believers, we've been given God's divine power to help us leave the option that is in this world. Every one of us, you and I, we need God's divine power in order to live above the realm of the senses. Even though we are in this world, we can live beyond the realms of our physical senses. But the only way we can do that is to access God's divine power made available to us through the knowledge of God's word, which contains great and precious promises. By deliberately committing ourselves to know God and love God's people, we can unlock those precious promises of God and be able to participate in the divine nature and fulfill our God-given purposes as a result. Through our knowledge of God, we become partakers of God's divine nature. And God's divine nature is very different from the worldly system. In the worldly system, you slap me, I slap you back. In the worldly system, you backbite me, I backbite you. In the worldly system, you kick me, I kick you. You know, in God's system, in God's nature, things are different. It's a new system, and we need to learn from God's word and listen to God and speak to him to be changed into his image and be able to participate fully in this nature that is above the realm of our physical senses, above the realm of the way we do things in the world. In the world system, people from Gaza invade, we show them worse. You know, they kill 120 of us, we go in and kill 10,000 of them. That's the worldly system. That is not the God way. But we need to be changed from within into the image of God, Being in tune with our divine nature enables us to escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires, caused by, you know, all sorts of wickedness around us. In a world filled with temptations and trials, God's promise and our participation in His nature will provide us a means of accessing God's peace that passes all understanding. This peace and our knowledge of God's ever-abiding presence will allow us to stand firm against the destructive forces of sin. Now, Peter outlines a spiritual growth plan, a spiritual growth blueprint. He urges believers to harden their faith in God, in God's promises, qualities such as goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. And he said these virtues are not just the building blocks of a godly character, but they also safeguard against ineffectiveness and lack of productivity in our knowledge of Christ. Next week, I will speak more about this spiritual growth blueprint of this message. But for today, brothers and sisters, we need to realize that moaning, complaining, running away, pretending as if those issues that we face in this life aren't there, you know, that's not the way to do things as people who are participating in God's divine nature. When we spend time to know God through His Word, we'll be able to build a relationship with Him in prayer, in fellowship with His people, and we'll be able to speak His promises when we're faced with the issues of life. This, my friends, is our ticket to flourishing as God's people. This is our ticket to flourishing as God's people. I'll close this service, this sermon, by leaving you with the Message translation of 2 Peter verse 1. You know, and it says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who's invited us to God. The best invitation we ever received, we were also given terrific promises to pass on to you. Your ticket to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given. And it goes on and on and on and on and on about building, you know, on top of your faith, you know, good understanding, discipline, and so on and so forth. Verses 10 to 11 of that chapter says, friends, confirm God's invitation to you, His choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this. And you have your life on a firm footing. You can check that out when you have the time. 2 Peter 1 in the Message translation. My prayer is that God will help us to actively rely on His divine power and hold on to the assurance of His transformative promises, that we may effectively participate in His divine nature and flourish in this life and in the life that is to come. Amen. Amen.